back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore positive. We're positively taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We'll be at Cooper's this week. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill, Window Nation, and of course, Restaurant Week. It is Maryland Restaurant Week going on. Make sure you take care of the local folks. Tip well, eat a lot, and the chefs are all showing off, and it's good to have restaurants back in full bloom here as the kids are back at school. We got football back in full bloom. The Ravens wasting no time and get back up to Foxborough this weekend. This guy covered all things Foxborough, but does a hell of a job of covering all things National Football League. His book happens to be on the Belichick dynasty, and it is now available in paperback, and it is always better to be feared. Seth Wickersham, perhaps my favorite writer these days of all things National Football League, still with access, and we appreciate you coming back on here during Patriots-Ravens week. What a week for the Ravens, huh? I mean, trying to put this thing together after this historic collapse on Sunday.
Well, I mean, that was just, I didn't watch that game. I was actually in Denver. And it was just crazy because, like, you know, you're kind of like periodically checking in on, you know, other scores and stuff. And then out of nowhere, you know, it just, for the longest time, it didn't even look like the Ravens had a chance of not winning that game. And then the next thing you know, you're like, wait a second, what in the world just happened? I felt like that when I got back to the hotel, I had to like do a crash course to figure out like a breakdown about how exactly that could happen, how Lamar Jackson could just be unstoppable for so long. And then somehow they still lose that game. But I still haven't figured it out. I'm not sure that I'm any closer to it.
Well, I think there's a fatigue factor. You certainly, for guys coming back from injuries and stuff, many guys played far too many plays, far more than they wanted to. And as I said 2 years ago, if you would have told me when Ronnie Stanley went down that Patrick McCary, their backup center, would be starting at left tackle, I'd say you probably would struggle if you're going to go out there and try to do that 50, 60 snaps a game running the ball. They struggle to run the ball again. But everybody I talked to in Patriot land, you've got your book on the dynasty and all that. Apparently, the Mac Jones era is not maybe what that is, and it is better to be feared. Feels like people don't fear the Patriots right now.
No, you know, so I've got the paperback coming out. It came out actually last week. And, you know, it's one of the things I wrote about. You know, it's kind of interesting because the Patriots, when they had – everybody always says, who's more responsible, Tom Brady or Bill Belichick? And it definitely seems like that Tom Brady is winning that narrative now. But – I will say the one, and I don't know how to evaluate that question really, but when Brady and Belichick were together, they had this kind of magic where no matter what the score was, you kind of knew that the two of them could figure out just enough, the resourcefulness and the knowledge and the ethic and everything between the two of them could figure out just enough to make a comeback and come out on the right side of that score. And when Tom Brady left New England, that magic went with him. It turned out that magic was very transferable, you know, like a bus ticket, and it went to Tampa Bay. And New England, on the other hand, is a fine team in a conference with a lot of really good teams. But what they don't have is that magic. And even with Belichick on the sideline, if the Patriots are down, you kind of have a sense that, like, you know, maybe this isn't going to go their way. Whereas with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, you just kind of knew that between the two of them, they would figure it out. And so, you know, that's where we find things. I mean, Mac Jones is a perfectly competent quarterback right now in a tough system at the moment with the way that they're kind of approaching offense. It's definitely not been steady so far this year, but I don't know if competence is going to cut it in the AFC with the quarterbacks that are in the AFC right now, where you have Matt Ryan might be the ninth or 10th best quarterback in the AFC at the moment. To be able to get past the Baltimores, the Buffaloes, the Kansas Cities, the LAs, so many fine players, I think you're going to have to be more than competent. And so the question for the Patriots, as I see it, is, you know, does Mac Jones continue to improve and eventually become one of those elite guys, or does he kind of plateau at this level where he's occasionally really good and serviceable, but is never going to crack into that upper echelon?
Well, I mean, the Dolphins have stunk for a long time. They look pretty good, and certainly the way the Tua threw the ball around and those receivers they have creating all sorts of matchup nightmares. And then, Buffalo won the Super Bowl Monday. Just ask anybody, right? When, you know, right? I mean, week two, it's what we do. Yeah. But part of the Patriot mystique was those other teams really stunk. I mean, other than Rex for 5 minutes with Mark Sanchez that he's still bragging about the one time he beat Bill Belichick, right?
Yeah.
Still doing that on TV. I caught that act over the weekend. There is a point where the rest of the division is now sort of caught up a little bit, and Brady was the difference maker, but I still feel this sense of Belichick's ability to pick people and pick personnel. And I know once he picks a Lawrence guy, he's yours for life, right? Same thing with a McCourty. I mean, I've looked down the roster. It feels like the same guys that were there 5 years ago to some degree. That never smells good.
Well, I think that he's definitely made some personnel decisions over the years that leave you scratching your head. And I think that the one that will always kind of stand out, I think, will be opening the door for Tom Brady to leave after 2019 and letting Brady walk out. I mean, I think that, like, of all people who should have known better than to underestimate Tom Brady, it was Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick. And sure enough, he goes out, wins a Super Bowl with Tampa, and then beats
the Rams. He was 42. I mean, you know, at some point they had to say nobody's ever done it. Now it's Tom Brady, right? But I don't know that it felt like the world's worst decision in that moment. It really didn't, right?
Well, again, there was something about whatever Tom Brady put out on film during that 2019 season that really didn't appeal to people, because now at least we know that Bill Belichick, Kyle Shanahan, and John Gruden all watched all of his snaps and decided that, like, they'd rather, you know, go with somebody else. And so, like, those are smart coaches. Clearly, there was something about Brady that left them uninspired, but look what he did. I mean, but just going back to your point, I do think that, like, New England has always approached the first half of the season where, you know, they try to win, but they're really trying to find their identity, and then they really pick up steam as the season goes on. This feels like one of those times again where, especially in offense, they're going to need to, like, find their identity as they go. And when you're playing a team like Baltimore, obviously it's in New England, but, like, you know, I don't know whether, like, that formula works, because Brady could always – help you pull out a win. It was like what I spoke about, that magic. You know, if New England comes out of this weekend and they're 1-2, I don't know if it makes sense or if it's reaffirming to their fans that, you know, this is the first, you know, 6-7 weeks of the season are going to be kind of finding their way and trying to catch fire as the rest of the season goes on.
The book is It's Better to Be Feared. Seth Wickersham, one of the great writers of sports in this country. You can follow him out on the social media channels and along with the ESPN, and find him on the New York Times bestseller list from time to time. The book's now available in paperback. It's a great week to have Seth on talking about the Patriots mystique and whether it exists or doesn't. Is there a Raven mystique in some way? I mean, certainly this offseason, and I'm in the pressure cooker here, right? It's all Lamar, contract, Willie, won't he, all of that. I've never felt like the Ravens felt like there was this huge surge to sign him or that they needed to throw all this money. But the Deshaun Watson thing has certainly changed all the negotiations in regard to him. He doesn't have an agent. He's out playing football, playing as well as he's played. But there's still a belief that he runs into linebackers and you shouldn't give him $200 million of guaranteed money. For those folks watching Kirk Cousins play the other night or Ryan Tannehill play the other night, you've already mentioned Matt Ryan, you'd say, well, these are the other options. Where would the Ravens be without Lamar Jackson now or over the last 3 or 4 years? And where would they be without him in the future? They built this whole thing around him and then have been a little gun shy to sort of marry him.
Well, I think one of the things that we've learned about quarterbacking is how hard it is to continue to stay ahead of defenses. And, you know, once you've accomplished something, can you continue to improve after the league spends an entire offseason trying to figure out ways to defense you? There's a lot of, you know, it's a big graveyard there of the very good quarterbacks who are not able to truly become great, and of the great ones who are able to become Hall of Famers because they're just not able to stay ahead of the curve and defenses eventually catch up on him. Now, with Lamar, he's someone that, like, when he's on, he's simply unstoppable. But if you're the Ravens, you know, is there ever going to be a point where defenses are able to catch up with him and he looks mortal and you're paying him like a future Hall of Famer? I think that that's the concern. And whether that's accurate or not, or right or not, you know, time will tell. I mean, I think that, like, Lamar Jackson, for as great as of a player as he's been and as good as he's been at times, frankly, he hasn't been great all the time. I mean, there's no reason to think that, like, with the good supporting cast and with good coaching, he continues his ascent. But you never know. And I
he think looks like he's getting better. Just 2 weeks in, he's throwing the ball better. He's stronger. He's less likely to run, which I don't know if that's good or bad and what it's going to mean for wins and losses. But he is a kid that from every moment, I don't say bet against him. It's just he improves. He finds a way to get better, and he works very hard at it. And it's and that is very clear. But that being said, once his wheels are gone, it's going to be all he has left is being able to throw the football.
And that's positive for him. And like it's for as a football watcher, it's great to see him continue his ascent because you know there's no reason why, given his skill set, he shouldn't be one of the very best. Obviously. He's so much better than Baker Mayfield, it's not even close. But I sort of think about Baker Mayfield in the sense that, like, he came onto the scene. He had a moxie and a persona and a skill set that helped change that franchise, right? I mean, they came out of that season, what was it, 2018, his rookie year. And, I mean, it looked like they had found their quarterback of the future. And yet, he didn't have whatever it might be. The willingness to take hard coaching, the ability to get better. Maybe he just doesn't have the God-given ability to keep improving. But defense has caught up with him really fast. And now you look at him and you're like, is he even going to be in the league next year, right? I mean, they had a good performance the other day, but it's like he's one of those guys that's kind of teetering. Carson Wentz is another one of those guys where you wonder, like, if this doesn't work out for him, you know, is he done as a starting quarterback? Lamar Jackson's way better than those guys, but it just goes to show that it is just so hard to keep going. And it's actually easier than people realize to plateau. And just because you're playing well 2 weeks into the season, it means nothing in terms of how you're playing in December. And so, you know, look, Lamar bet on himself. And I think that it'll probably, hopefully for him, it's a good bet. But again, as we're talking about the AFC and just how good so many teams are and so many young quarterbacks are, being competent, being very good is not going to cut it. You absolutely have to be one of the best. And, you know, it looks like Lamar is on a good track to get there, but I don't think it's a certain yet.
Seth Wickersham is here. Next time I go to Alaska, I'm going to be asking him for advice. But let's cut through all this sports nonsense, get to something that's really, really important. How many Springsteen shows you sitting on in the spring? I've been checking stuff out. I'm you know, in the Midwest, the tickets are soft. He's soft in, like, Tulsa, Houston, yeah. Kansas City. So I'm trying to think, like, do I want to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the middle of February? Probably. I mean, honestly, probably I do, especially at the right price. How many shows you hitting, Seth?
I have not bought a ticket yet. You know, I have so much travel coming up that, like, I'm sure that I'll go, but I'm just kind of waiting to see, you know, as things get closer and I understand my travel schedule before I sort of lay out those prices for tickets. You know, they always drop tickets the days before a show on Ticketmaster.
Shh, don't tell anybody that.
Sorry. I want fans to know. And, you know, I think that, like, that's a route that I'll probably go. But we'll just see. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'll happen to be in Tulsa for work and I can get in there really soft.
He's going down the lucky town, trying to get lucky and make it happen. Hey, I had a good time last year. I went up to New York when the plague ended. I caught a couple of seats in the balcony in the little show. And I went up with my wife and I had seen it really early on the first turn. And I didn't love it. I thought it was okay, but it was really expensive. I thought I had read the book. And my wife was just, oh my God, it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm like, you didn't read the book because it was the stories from the book. Second time around, I went just because, like, it was the plague and it's Bruce and he's alive and he's doing it. And I'm like, oh. And even though I was underwhelmed, it's been 3 or 4 years, I cried. Yeah. I got the stories, everything about the second one changed. I got back on the bus 2 weeks later and went back up and saw it again last summer because I felt like I need to do this one. Woman, I need to process this mother, father, where he is in his life, because he is the world's most interesting man.
he gets you like that, right? I mean, I was kind of thinking the same thing, like, oh, you know, I have seen him with the E Street Band for a long time now. Do I really need to like lay out this kind of dough for this show? But you know that like two bars into Prove It All Night, I'll be like standing up and screaming with everybody.
There's going to be snow and sideways in State College, and I'm going to text you and say, dude, I got an extra in 106 row AA. It's only a 6-hour drive. Come on, dude. That's what are true. You doing? You know?
That's true.
That's what we get. Seth Wickersham, also a backstreeter and an e-streeter as well. Proudest moment of my life is Bruce Springsteen called me a dummy at the Tampa press conference. So it's a true story.
I was there. I don't remember that, but I was there.
Oh, my God. I got the question in, and my question was, you've been rumored to play the Super Bowl a million times. Why did you pick now? And he said, I got a new album, dummy. And I thought, Bruce called me a dummy. It's the greatest moment of my life on national television live, you know? So I'll always have that set.
Plus, you got the honest answer. I mean, he told the truth.
He did tell the truth, except the part where he was together with Bon Jovi and they were discussing it. He wasn't clear about that. Seth, I love your work. Love reading your work. Love having you on the program. Good luck with the paperback version. And hopefully next time we get together, we'll be talking about playoff football and interesting things. There's always a storyline in this league, man.
Sounds good, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Seth Wickersham, always fun to follow out on social media as well as his bars and tavern tours and sports writing journeys. Make sure you're following along at ESPN and pick up his book as well. It is always better to be feared. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.